There are two texts that I would like for you to mark for this message. One is in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, and then turn back to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 1, and 2 Samuel, chapter 11. And you're set for this study of God's Word. And what I'm going to do in the next few minutes is try to show you what sin does in our lives and present to you the best answer I know. So mark those texts and be prepared to study with me my sins and my Savior. And while you're finding those, let me once again express my gratitude to the elders and to the ministers here for inviting me to share with you today. I'm very happy to be here and to be in the city of Henderson. I would like for my wife and my son, Kevin, I'm going somewhere with this, if my wife will stand and Kevin and his family will stand. I don't know where Kevin got. Yeah, there they are. This is what I want to tell you. Years ago, I preached in Henderson at the North Henderson Church. Kevin was a little boy. I mean, a little bitty boy. And Brother Ruth had just passed. Sister Ruth was still living. And that's when we met Sister Elizabeth Saunders, who is here also. And now I have a granddaughter named Nyla because of that good family. And in case you think that was a long time ago, it really was a long time ago. I'm telling you that Roy Sharp and all the rest of those guys are really old. He just looks like that, but he's old. And I know he's old. He went to school late, and I went early. And he graduated just a few years before I did. So I know how old he really is, and I'm thankful for him and for our relationship. Now let's study God's Word. This is the approach. We're going to read, and then I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm going to tell you an extended story, and I have 3 points of practical application. It'll not go quite that fast, but hang on as we read, learn a story, learn the extension of that story, and 3 points. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse number 18. The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I think it's almost worth memorizing. The angel of the Lord appeared to David, or to Joseph in a dream, and said, Joseph, Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. And David is important. Go back to the beginning of the chapter, verse number 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Almost looks backwards when you read it first. But Jesus, the son of David, who is the son of Abraham. And then he works through to make sure in verse number 6 that we remember that Jesse begat David, the king, and David, the king, begat Solomon. And verse 17, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. And those stories that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Go back to the book of 2 Samuel 11, and I want us to learn a story about David. It came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Raba. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him and lay with him, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned to her house, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. And that's a story that you know. David looked from the roof of his house at home because he didn't go to battle. I'm not sure why he didn't go. That day, he sent his army captain nephew, Joab. That's right. Joab is his nephew. There's a lady in the Bible named Zeruiah. That's David's sister. Normally, people are reckoned from the father's side, but those three boys, David's sister's sons, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel, and they're pretty tough. David sent Joab. He didn't go to battle. And he looked from the roof of his house, and he saw a woman washing herself, and he inquired about the woman. And somebody told him, that's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. He's in the army fighting for you. Can I just tell you something as I pass by? It's normal for a man to be interested in a woman. I wish more men were interested in women. I don't have a problem with that. But when you inquire of a woman, about a woman, and somebody tells you that's a man's wife, that's good enough. That means leave that one alone. It's normal for women to be interested in men. I wish all women were interested in men. But if you inquire and say, what about that guy? And somebody says, that's a woman's husband. That means leave that one alone. David inquired. They told him, that's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. David sent, took her anyhow, slept with her. And I believe if David had been in Memphis, Tennessee, or in Henderson, Tennessee, they probably would have aborted that baby. The reason I think that is because they tried everything they knew to hide it. He sent for his army captain nephew Joab and said, send Uriah home from the battle. Uriah came back. He said, go sleep with your wife. He didn't say it like that. He just sent him home and then sent a mess of food down to his house. Can I just teach you something in passing? As you work through your life, learn to watch the motives of people. He sent him home and he sent a mess of food down to his house. But Uriah didn't go home. He got the man drunk, trying to get it. He still didn't go home. And he finally sent a message to his army captain nephew, Joab, and said, put Uriah on the front lines of the battle and get him killed. Think about it like this. There's the wall. The enemy's behind it. If we march up too close to the wall, the enemy can shoot from the wall and kill us. Put Uriah right on the front lines. March up too close to the wall and get him killed. Army captain nephew Joab did that. Uriah got killed. He sent a message back to his uncle David and said, we marched too close to the wall. We got some people killed. And if David hits the ceiling about that, you just tell him Uriah the Hittite is dead. The messenger went back to David and said, we got too close to the wall. We got some people killed. But Uriah the Hittite is dead. Sin has gripped David. You know how David responded to that? Not normally at all. David said, that's how it happens in battle. One man dies like another. Go tell Joab to strengthen the battle and fight the Lord's battles. And he sent for Uriah's wife and took her as his own wife. And it looked like things were going to be happy forevermore. And that's the story. You got it? Now you need to learn the extension of that story. You've got the story. Learn the extension. I'm in chapter 12, verse number 1. Because right at the end of 11, the Bible says, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came to him and said to him, There were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was coming to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. And I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Israel. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the son." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." Now I want you to hear this extension of the story. You've got the story. Looked like it was going to be all right, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. So the Lord sent Nathan to David, and Nathan said, "David, I need to tell you a story." And he told him the parable of the sheep. But what I want you to appreciate relative to where sin can take us, the real depth of sin, Nathan told David, "The sword will never depart from your house. I will raise up evil against you out of your own house. I will take your wives and give them to another. And the child that is born unto you will surely die." Now you can almost feel David say, "Wait a minute, I didn't intend for it to go this far." Still, I'm telling you that all of the rest of the book of 2 Samuel is an unfolding of how those promises came to pass in David's life. You read it when you go home. Read the rest of the book of 2 Samuel. And you might read stories like this. The child finally did die. They were afraid to tell David the child was dead. He figured it out himself. He said, "The child is dead, isn't it?" They said, "Yes, the child is dead." He got up and washed his face and anointed himself and went to the house of the Lord to worship. They said, "David, we don't quite understand. When the child was living, you were fasting and mourning, and now the child is dead and you're going about your daily business." That's because sin gripped David and he thought it was over. So he answers, "I thought perhaps God would be merciful. But I can go to the child. The child cannot come back to me. I've got to go on." Still, I'll almost guarantee you that in the back of David's mind, he knew that that child died because I sinned, and I know what the prophet Nathan said. And then in chapter 13, David had a son named Absalom and another son named Amnon, not by the same mother. They had a crazy cousin named Jonadab. Jonadab wanted to give Amnon some advice because Amnon wanted Tamar, who was Absalom's full-blood sister. Jonadab's advice: you want her? You don't know how to get her? Pretend to be sick. Watch the motives of people. Pretend to be sick. Say you want your sister to come cook for you, and when she comes in, rape her. And Amnon was just crazy enough to try that. He raped his sister and then told her, "Get out." She said, "No, ask my father for me and marry me. Get out." And he ran his sister out. David was upset about that. But Absalom hated Amnon in his heart because he raped his sister. But let me tell you something. You be careful about hoarding hatred in your heart. Because if you start hoarding bitterness and hatred in your heart, time can pass and you'll do something you have no business doing because you hoarded the bitterness instead of forgiving. Some years later, Absalom had a sheep shearing feast, and he invited David and all of his boys to come. David wouldn't go, but he allowed his sons to go. And Absalom gave this instruction: "When I give the sign, I want you to kill Amnon." He had Amnon killed. And when he had Amnon killed, somebody escaped to tell David, "All of your sons are dead." And then somebody came to say, "No, not all of your sons, just Amnon is dead." And that would be some relief for David, but I can almost guarantee you, I know what went through his mind. "The sword shall never depart from your house." That's David's sons killing each other. When Absalom had killed Amnon, he fled to Geshur. Stayed there until Joab used a wise lady from Tekoa to say Absalom could come back home. Absalom came back home, stood out in front of the palace gates. People would come. He'd say, "There's nobody deputized of the king to take care of your business today, but if I were your king." And he hugged the ladies and kissed the babies and played politician and got the Israelites on his side. Then he told David, "When I was in Geshur, I made a vow to the Lord, and I need to go to Hebron to keep a vow that I made to the Lord. David said, by all means, go keep the vow that you made to the Lord. He went to Hebron with David thinking he was going to keep a vow that he made to the Lord. And when he got to Hebron, he told the people in Hebron, when I give you the sign, you say, Absalom is king in Hebron. And Absalom came down from Hebron and ran his daddy out of his house. David left barefooted and crying, but I think I know what probably went through his mind. I will raise up evil against you out of your own house. When David was coming, there was some conflict between the prophet Ahithophel and Hushai. Hushai's advice, don't go chase David tonight. Ahithophel, go get him while you can. And you might recall that when Ahithophel's advice was not taken, he hanged himself. What I think is interesting is somebody's advice was like this. Blood is thicker than water. These people are not going to believe you'll fight against your own father. But when your father left Jerusalem, he left 10 concubines. Go into your father's concubines in the sight of everybody, and people will really believe you will fight against your own father. And Absalom went into his own father's wives in the sight of everybody. When David heard about that, he locked those women up to celibacy for the rest of their lives. But I know what went through his mind. You did it secretly, I'll do it in front of everybody. I'll give your wives to another in the sight of this son. The forces of Absalom and David were joined. David's last instructions, be careful with my son Absalom. I'll never understand it. You know, sometimes some parents, grandparents, just love certain children, grandchildren. Absalom has run his own father out of the house, and still David is saying, be careful with my son Absalom. I just love Absalom. The battle was joined. Absalom had long hair, got his hair caught in an oak tree. Somebody said, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak tree. Joab said, you should have killed him. They said, but David said, don't do that. He said, show me where he is. And Joab threw darts through his heart. They raced to tell David the news. The first person told David a lie. David said, how are things going? He said, look pretty good to me. I saw a great tumult, but I don't know what was really going on. The second messenger said, all the king's enemies ought to be where Absalom is. And that's when David broke. Oh, Absalom, my son, would to God that I had died for you. Oh, Absalom, my son. And in the midst of his grief, he knows why. The sword will never depart from your house. That's his army captain, nephew Joab, killing his own son. He was upset about that, so he moved Joab for a minute and put another relative named Amasa in Joab's place. Joab came across the field, pretended to hug him, stuck a sword through him. The sword will never depart from your house. The child that is born unto you will surely die. I'll take your wives and give them to another. I'll raise up evil against you out of your own house. And the sword will never depart from your house. I'm just telling you that all of the rest of the book of 2 Samuel is an unfolding of the extended story. So there's a little story that doesn't look like it's going very far. David never intended for it to go that far. And by the time you complete it, it involves all the rest of a man's life. And the question is, what are we learning as the people of God? What are we learning? I want to suggest three things to finally get to tell you the best answer to sin I know. The first thing is, you be careful lest you are the man. Yes, that's right. And I'm talking to every person in the room. You be careful lest you are the man. You know, sometimes you can tell the story of David, and some people can sit there almost prideful and kind of say, well, David got what he deserved. You know, after all, David sinned and took a man's wife. And you know, David, that's the way it is in life. You really get what you deserve. And by the time you get through telling the story, you've almost become like David. You see, Nathan came to David and told him the parable of the sheep. And David didn't realize that Nathan was actually talking to him. And sometimes you read these Bible stories, and unless you think for a little while, you might forget that this is actually a story for you. You be careful lest you are the man. You see, in condemning who he thought was somebody else, David actually condemned himself. You be careful lest you are the man. I can't tell you how many times in life I've listened to people talk about somebody else or think they were condemning somebody else. And in just a little while, you find out that's you. I listened to a man after some children, young girls had come up pregnant. I listened to a man say, My girl didn't bring me no little babies. I never had the heart to tell him that two of those girls confessed to me that they had abortions. So in his pride, he never saw his grandchildren. I can remember another case where a family member said, I know what these kids need. I know what they need. But she didn't have any children. A few years later, I went back home, and she had had a child. But she didn't have good control. I went a few years later, she had had another child, and I'm not bragging or complaining, but I had better control of 8 than she had of 2. Just be careful lest you are the man, because in your condemnation of other people, you can really wind up condemning yourself. I could tell you stories half the morning about people who were so dogmatic today, but they changed tomorrow because their story had to change. I listened to a woman when those girls were coming up pregnant. She ran up to me and said, Brother Ed, what are we going to do about all these little girls coming up pregnant? And I wanted to look at her and say, why are you yelling at me? I didn't get them pregnant. But the next thing you know, she was pregnant and she didn't have a husband. Now what do you do about it? Be careful lest you are the man. In condemning others, you could wind up condemning yourself. Secondly, when you have sinned and been brought low, get up and go worship. Yes, that's exactly what I said. When you have sinned and been brought low, get up and go worship. If there's anything I like about David, he knew he had sinned. And he learned to worship all the way through his sin. You know, we live in a day when you hear people say, worship is supposed to be a celebration. I don't disagree with that. There are times to celebrate. But can I give you a piece of advice? Learn to worship under any circumstance. Worship is not always celebration. Sometimes it's worship in grief. Sometimes it's worship in sin. Sometimes it's worship in bitterness. Learn to go worship. Hannah wasn't celebrating. She didn't even want to go to worship. She was sick of Peninnah. But she went during a time when most people would have said, I'm not even going. And she prayed and got an answer from the Lord. David, in grief, got up and went to the house of the Lord. His son ran him out. He left barefooted and crying, stopped at the top of the mount to worship the Lord. When you have sinned and been brought low, get up and go worship. Yeah, I know those people who say, well, I just don't feel worthy. That's why I'm trying to tell you to get up and go worship. And can I talk just for a minute for those of you who don't think they're worthy? Learn to let people come home. Learn to want them to come home. I've seen people come back to church crying. Brothers and sisters, I have sinned. I desire the prayers of the church. And then somebody like some of you will walk up to them and say, well, I hope it sticks this time. I hope you really mean it this time. Learn to let people come home. They need to come home. If you're in that condition, come home. You're welcome home. I want them to be welcome home because they need home. And they need Jesus. And they need God and forgiveness. We all do. Be careful lest you are the man. When you have sinned and been brought low, get up and go worship. You need the Lord. And then one last one. Look for the bright side. Learn to look for the bright side. There's a song that some of you know. There's a bright side somewhere. There's a bright side somewhere. Don't you stop until you find it. Because there's a bright side somewhere. I need to tell you that he worshiped all the way through it, but David had a pretty rough life. He was anointed king by Samuel. Saul wouldn't let him be the king. Saul chased him all over Palestine. Finally, out of Palestine territory into Philistine territory. The Amalekites gave him Ziklag, and the Philistines gave him Ziklag, and he thought he was doing pretty good. The Amalekites attacked Ziklag, took his children and their families, and the very people that David had taken care of started talking about stoning David. He finally got to be the king. when Saul died, got killed in battle, and you think, boy, he's going to be all right now. Abner made Ishbosheth the king, and he struggled with Ishbosheth for another 2 years. Ben and Rechab killed Ishbosheth, and you think, boy, now he'll make it. And he looked up, and his own son ran him out of the house. But the bright side is that the families of Judah and the other Israelites fussed to see who would bring David back to Jerusalem. I think his last years may have been some of his best. Israel reasoned, we have more people. Judah reasoned, he's our flesh and blood. And the men of Judah won and brought David back to Jerusalem after a pretty rough life. There's a bright side somewhere. Don't you stop until you find it. There's a bright side somewhere. But do you know the part of the story of David that I like the most? That I think shows the brightest side is that David and Bathsheba had another little boy. His name was Solomon. And Solomon had Rehoboam. And Rehoboam had Abijah. Abijah had Asa. Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, Ahaziah, Athaliah, Joash, Amaziah, Azariah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Ammon, Josiah, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, Shealtiel, Pedadiah, Zerubbabel, Abiad, Eliakim, Azor, Zadok, Acham, Eliad, Eleazar, Matan, Jacob, Joseph. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. She's going to have a son. They'll call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. I think David shows you the extent of sin. My sins. How far sin can take you. And I think David shows you the answer to your sins. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. She's going to have a son. They'll call his name Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. Now listen. He's still the Savior. And he can still wash away your sins. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, you can become a Christian if you believe in Jesus. If you're willing to repent of your sins, to make a confession with your mouth, you can be buried with Christ in baptism and wash all of your sins away. If you're already a Christian, but you haven't been faithful, you ought to come home. You ought to come home. You're welcome home. And through Jesus, God will forgive you of your sins. If you're a faithful Christian, sing with us and pray with us as we stand together to sing our song of encouragement.